Reformed Church.
So I've been thinking about prayer, right? I've been thinking about the way that people talk about prayer. People, you'll hear things about like the power of prayer or prayer works or pray until something happens. And if God's people would just pray and, you know, ask and you will receive, which that one is a verse, right? Ask and you will receive. You have not because you ask not, right? And again, that's also a verse. But the whole idea behind quoting things like that, again, some of the things I just mentioned are verses, but other things are just like the power of prayer and all that. That's obviously not a verse. And the whole concept of prayer has replaced, to a large degree, faith as to how we receive from God. Prayer, in large degree, has replaced learning from Jesus as to how we receive from God. Receiving from God, to say the word faith in the church today is not uncommon. Okay, that is not something unique to this church that we talk about faith. Furthermore, it is not uncommon to talk about receiving by faith. That is not uncommon. Most any church will talk about receiving by faith, right? But it's not so much what is unpopular that we teach regarding faith, and just so you know, faith is just learning from Jesus. That's all that is, right? Faith is not an expectation that something's going to happen, right? That's hope, which is different. That's not faith. You don't receive by an expectation. If you come to church today, right, we've explained this before, and people will say, just expect a miracle. How do you expect God to do miracles in your life if you're not even expecting it, right? You don't receive by expectation. God can do exceedingly abundantly more than you ask or think. So just you thinking up a result that you want to see is not how you receive. God is able to do more than that. God works, is able to work through us, right? All the finished work of Jesus is able to be manifest through us by faith. But faith is just knowing Jesus. Faith is nothing more than that. Faith is just right spiritual perception to be able to see Jesus, to know what he accomplished. And that is how we receive from God. But asking God, praying to God, is also taught simultaneously with faith as how we receive from God. That is where this church is unpopular in what we teach. Not that we talk about receiving by faith, but that we only talk about receiving by faith and that we define faith properly. That is what makes Reformed Church unique. Because you'll hear any Joe Schmo out there talking about receiving by faith. But that is real cheap when you start adding to it. Because we've probably all been there before. Yes, we receive by faith. Yeah, of course, Pastor Mike, amen, we receive by faith. Next service, you know what? If you're not a good steward of what you have, how do you expect God to add anything more to you? Oh, so now I'm receiving by the fact that I'm a good steward. Okay, what about next service? We talk about the blessing, the secret of the blessing of the tithe. Okay, now I'm receiving based off of me giving 10%. Now you just threw me back into the old covenant now. Okay, and this person still says receiving by faith. And what happens? And then the next service after that, it's, hey, if you have a problem, you just need to ask God. That's how you receive from God. Just ask. Ask and you will receive. If you just ask, you have not because you ask not. Okay, so now I'm receiving by asking. So is it knowing Jesus or is it tithe, being a good steward of what I have? Is it asking? What makes this church unique is that we say, you receive by knowing Jesus, and we put the period there. And I'm not saying we've never made a mistake in anything we've said, but as a whole, that would be an exception to the rule if we ever made a mistake like that, because at this church we teach, you receive by what you know about Jesus, period. It's not the laying out of hands that makes you receive. It's not your asking. It's not your prayer. It's not your calling out to God. It's not your being a good steward. It's not your tithe. It's not anything. And how do I know? Well, how do you know that, Pastor Mike? Because when you know how to receive from God, you know how not to receive from God. It's really easy. I don't have to really go over, it's good to give examples to correct things within the church, but I don't really have to go over all the ways that you don't receive from God. If you know the one way to receive from God, it's easy to tell how you don't receive from God. When you know the truth, you can detect a lie very easily. There's no limit to the amount of lies and distortions of the truth that can be out there. The devil can keep making new ones up, and just keep going and keep going and keep going. But when you know the truth, you already know how to detect a lie. It's not hard. That is what, whether you like it or not, or whether we believe this or not, that is unique to Reformed Church. Again, we think that's maybe a common thing, what I just said. That is not a common thing. That is not a common thing in the church today. We talk about receiving by faith, but then asking God and praying to God is used, again, maybe just on a different service, but is used almost synonymously with receiving from God. How do you receive? I've heard people say this. How do you receive from God? You know, if you have a problem, how do you receive? Just ask him. Yeah, that's what the Bible just says, right? Ask and you receive. Just ask. And you're like, well, Pastor Mike, that is a verse. And you know what? Hopefully in the future, we'll get to this. So if you're watching this online, you know, maybe at this point, we've already posted more messages about Lord willing, if we continue this. But I'm not going to go over all those verses today because I don't have the time. But we will get to them, Lord willing. What I just want to show you just for right now, prayer, just speaking about prayer and asking God, prayer doesn't move God. Prayer does not cause God to react and to provide something to you when you pray. But furthermore, prayer is not how you receive from God at all. That is not how you receive from God. Okay? One big point with this, I won't dwell on here, but one big point about asking God or prayer, when people talk about, you know, that we receive by asking, usually it has nothing to do with Jesus. Usually, when people teach on that. If they say, how do you receive from God? Just ask him. Notice this conversation just has to do with me and God. There's no mediator involved in that conversation. There's usually nothing. Unless you say, well, and you got to say, in Jesus' name, amen. Right? Or something like that. But Jesus, his mediation in the cross, usually doesn't come into that conversation or a message in which we're telling people. People will tell you this. Just say, I'm warning you, just say it right now. People will tell you this. You need to be more discerning than for this stuff to just go over your head. It's not good enough for you to agree with me on what I'm saying right now. It's not good enough. If you say, no, Pastor, but I agree with everything you said, not good enough. You need to know what I'm saying so thoroughly that it doesn't go over your head when someone lies to you. Okay? The way the Bible says, right? You need to be a perfect man so that you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's not good enough to agree with me. Don't think that it's sufficient to just agree with me. Most people, I'm not stating about anyone in particular here right now, most people that would say, Pastor Mike, I agree with your message. If I were to question them on what I'm saying right now after service, you would not be able to answer me correctly. Most people, it's not good enough to agree. I'm not talking about anyone in particular. It's just a truth, right? That we need to grow in our knowledge so that we're not tossed. Because people will tell you that. They will say, how do you receive from God? Just ask him. That is not a sufficient answer. It is not a sufficient answer. First and foremost is because, notice, like I said, that has nothing to do with Jesus. And again, sometimes people will bring Jesus into it. Most of the time, from what I've heard, not. Because it's just basically between me and God. God wants to provide for you, so you just ask him, and you'll receive. Oh, okay, so there's no mediator involved in this transaction here? There's no one like in between that I have to access through somebody to access the Father, right? There's no way that I have to go through to access the Father. No, just ask. Oh, okay. So maybe Jesus didn't even, not saying we were intentionally saying this, but maybe Jesus didn't even have to come, right? If you just have to ask God, and that's how God can get these things to you, then we should have just all asked him for salvation before Christ came, and Christ wouldn't have even had to come, right? If you just receive by asking, what is there the need for a mediator, really? Not really, if it's really just solely asking. The real way you receive from God is you receive from God by faith in Jesus. Now, you see, once I start preaching on this, now there is a necessity of a mediator. Because now when I start, you see the difference here, right? Versus just me and God having a conversation, I'm having a problem, and I say, God, hey, can you help me out? And God helps me out. No mediator needed in that transaction. But if I were to say, no, you need to put faith in what Jesus has done, and that's how you receive, now Christ is a necessity to receive. Because now what I'm saying is that Jesus already provided everything, and you need to understand what he did, and that is on your end. Just say, this is how it works. That is on your end, your consent to receive, your consent to the Father, to receive, to have put your trust in what Jesus has done instead of what you have done, and that's how you receive, and Christ is necessary. In that kind of conversation, notice how I just put a necessity to the cross now when I speak to people about receiving. If you're talking to people about receiving from God, and Jesus is not mentioned, or he is mentioned seldom, or he's just mentioned by name, but the cross is not spoken of thoroughly, something wrong with that. Because that's how you receive from God. Jesus provided something, and you need to believe what he did, and not just believe casually. This is good for everybody. I'm not talking about casual belief that comes to church on Sundays. I mean, we're all here right now, but that's not good enough either. You come to church on Sundays and hear what I'm saying is not good enough. If you yourself, in your own time, continue in the Word of God, that's the kind of faith that God's talking about, the full assurance of faith that is only gotten through continuance. The Bible says that you will not inherit anything from God except through faith and patience. You hear what I'm saying right now, right? That is not coming to church on Sundays. That's a great start. Faith and patience. Patience means continuance in that faith. Even when we talk about obedience is faith, that's not the casual faith that people talk about. I'm talking about what you do on your own time. What you do here is irrelevant. Irrelevant. Anybody, even an unsaved person can come in here and believe based off what I'm saying. What do you do on your own time when you're at home? That's what counts. That is what counts. Not what you do in these four walls. What do you do outside? I'm not talking about how you're living outside of here. I'm not talking about how you're living. I'm talking about who you're seeking, where your time goes, where your mentality is outside of here. Do you seek the Lord for yourself to learn Jesus outside of here? That is the only kind of seeking that counts. An unsaved person that belongs to the devil himself can come in here and believe while I'm talking, because that's third party receiving. You agreeing with this message right now doesn't count. That does not count. If you continue in his word, you're truly his disciple. It is only and solely what the decisions you make in your mind, not in your actions, in your mind, outside of here, that counts. You will only ever receive from God as much as you are seeking him outside of this place, not within these four walls. Take that and run with that. That is a gospel truth, what I just said. It's what you do outside of here on your own time. Because when you're in here, you don't have much choice but to listen to me, you know, jab for a while. When you're outside of here, that's when it's all you. What choice will you make when you're in your room at night, when you wake up in the morning? Who are you going to think about? Do you acknowledge the Lord at all? This is not a condemnation to you. I'm just telling you how to receive from God, from a God that wants you to receive from his son's finished work. It's not a condemnation. There's no condemnation. If you wake up one morning and you go through your day and you're like, geez, man, I didn't acknowledge the Lord at all today and I forgot. I'm not saying, there's no condemnation to you. Jesus, you are forgiven and you are righteous before God. It's not it's not about whether you're qualified or not. It's about whether you want to receive from what you got or not. That is hinged on the decisions you make outside of this church, not in here. And that's how you receive from God. The Bible says one thing is needful. Jesus said about Mary, that one thing was needful, and she has found the good part. And she was sitting there learning from Jesus, listening to his word. That's how you receive from God. Even the verse I just mentioned before from Hebrews, where he says, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How do you inherit from God? Faith and patience. That patience just means continuance. So it means faith and keep believing, keep learning. Know Jesus and keep knowing Jesus. Learn Jesus and keep learning Jesus. Like again, like Mary. One thing, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? How many things were needful? One thing was needful. One thing was needful. You see where I'm coming from before, when I was speaking before? If one thing is needful, it's easy to, in order to receive from him, you only got to do one thing. Learn from me. That's what Jesus is telling you. In your whole life, what makes your life a success at the end of this age, take this to heart. Especially our young people, and this is good for everybody, but what will make you a success, successful with flying colors at the end of this age, is whether you continued, not one time or two times. That doesn't count. Doesn't count. Isn't it a good thing, though, at least I came to church? It depends. If you continue, yes. If you don't, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Whether you learned one time or two times, irrelevant. If you continued in his word, that is what will make you a success. I don't care what your career is, where you went to school, what your education is. If you will learn from Jesus, and you don't need any education for that, and I'm not totally discounting education by itself, but that's only temporary help at best, and at worst, a hindrance to you sometimes. But the one thing that will make you a success is to listen to Jesus and learn Jesus, learn what he accomplished for you. That will make you a success. If you don't do that, I don't care how much money you have, whether you're living the quote-unquote American dream and you grow up and you got a wife and you got the kids and you got the picket fence, you're a failure. You're a failure. An utter failure before the eyes of God if you haven't learned Jesus. God told you one thing, and it wasn't the picket fence, and it wasn't a career. And if you miss the one thing that's needful from God, which is listening and learning from Him, if you miss that one thing at the end of your life or at the end of this age, you're a failure. Any person that doesn't listen to Jesus is a failure. And guess what? This may sound funny, but God loves every single one of those people. And God provided something for every single one of those people. But if someone refuses to listen to Jesus, you're a failure. That's the only failure. That's the only kind of failure that there is. You could do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, think the wrong thing, but if you get one thought right, and that is you continued in learning Jesus, you couldn't be more successful or more obedient to your God. You couldn't have done any better service to your God, and you've done well, you faith-filled servant. You have that approval and good report from God that you've done what pleased Him. Even with your life and your actions looking like a wreck right now, you need to believe on Jesus. That is how you receive from God. That is success in the eyes of God. And if it's success in the eyes of God, then that's actually success, and it should be success in our eyes as well. I couldn't care less where your life's at right now. You need to be listening to Jesus and learning from Him. God doesn't care about anything else. He does not. It's not that that's the thing He cares most about. He don't give two hoots about anything else. Do that. Everything else will follow. Everything else will follow. But if you miss that, even with the picket fence, you're a failure. Total failure. I'm not mincing my words, because what I'm telling you is the truth right now. That's the only failure there is for someone to have rejected the knowledge of Jesus. God only told you one thing, and it's an easy thing. The Bible says, just throw this out again, one thing is needful, right? What was that one thing? Mary listening and learning from Jesus. That's it. One thing's needful. See, that's how it's so easy to know how to receive from God. When God tells you one thing's needful, if it's not that one thing, I know that that's not how I receive from God. So even with a verse like ask and you shall receive, I don't have to be confused. And we'll go over that verse, Lord willing, in the future. But even with a verse like ask and you shall receive, which is true, and we'll go over that verse and what that verse actually means, I know that asking or verbal, and what I mean by that is verbalizing a prayer to God can't be how I receive if Jesus says one thing is needful. Or like 2 Peter 1. What does 2 Peter 1 say? Grace and peace is multiplied to you. How? How does God get His grace and peace out of you so that you can experience and receive from Him? How is it multiplied to you? Through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. One thing's needful. Is asking, verbalizing a prayer to God, is that part of that one thing? No, that would be two things now, right? If God says, well, you got to believe, like Mary, learn from me, and then you also got to ask me. That's not one thing. You added to it. Even in Deuteronomy, which is the law of faith, as we know, if you don't know that, listen to the Obedience is Faith article. But we know that here, right? The Bible says in Deuteronomy, you should not add to it nor take away from it. That's what makes Reformed Church unique. It's not because we teach faith or the word faith, but we teach it correctly. And again, it would be the exception to the rule if we made a mistake in this area, because what you'll typically hear here is that we don't add to that. It's just learn Jesus and that's it. You're going to receive from God. Even before you verbalize a thing to heaven, you'll receive from God if you know Jesus. Not if you know Him once or twice or if you hear Him at church. That's not what I'm talking about. Faith and patience, right? And you say, well, isn't that two things? No, patience is not a separate. Faith means continuance. It means faith and then keep doing that. Okay? It's actually the opposite of two things. There are two words there, but the second one is just reaffirming the first one. Faith and patience just means faith, and then keep on going with faith. You know, when you're looking for a second step or how else do I receive from God, just keep on learning Jesus, because that's how you receive from God, right? Grace and peace is multiplied to us in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, right? Romans chapter 5, verse 2, and we're closing right here. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, through whom? Through Jesus also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. Through Jesus we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. The one thing that's needful from the Lord is to listen to Him. And where does listening lead? Where does hearing the Word of God lead? To faith, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's it. Like there's nothing else. When you add asking as a necessity, and but again, what I mean by asking here, it may not make sense why I'm making this clarification, but when I'm talking about asking, I'm referring to you verbalizing a prayer to God. When you add that to faith as a necessity to receiving from God, you've just made one thing into two things now. And then, you know, good luck if you ever want to heal somebody with your shadow because you didn't verbalize a prayer to God. Good luck if you want God to save you from a car wreck because right as you see that car coming head on, you're going to have to throw a quick prayer out to God. You better be quick. You better be quick what you're asking. If I'm going to get off the stage and if I trip off the stage, I better, right as my foot hits, I better ask God real quick so that he'll protect me. Obviously, it's silly. Verbalizing a prayer to God is, I'll say this, right? It's helpful to your receiving. It can cause you to receive, but is not the way that you receive from God. Okay? Again, God willing, we'll talk about that more in the future, but that's kind of where I think we'll leave it right now. Let me just throw this out here. I know that typically I would already have had to stop, but because there's no one here, I just want to throw this verse out. In James, you'll notice, even when James talks about asking, it'll say, but you have to ask in faith. If the faith is not present, you're not going to receive anything from God. You'll just notice that. So there are times where the Bible mentions that you receive by faith, and he doesn't even mention asking. Doesn't even mention asking. We have access through Jesus by faith into the grace in which we stand, right? Asking isn't even spoken of there. But anywhere asking is mentioned, you'll see, but you have to ask in faith. Faith still has to be present. What's the common denominator here? Asking doesn't have to be present. Faith always has to be present. You can receive from God even without verbalizing the prayer, but you can't receive from God ever without faith being present. I'll just throw that out there, okay? Even when James does talk about receiving by asking, he always clarifies, wait, faith has to be present, though, because remember, that's the real way you're receiving from God. Asking can help you receiving, but it's not how you receive. And we'll go over that, hopefully, in the future.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.